Our 2020 vision has a fourfold focus. Number one is worship. We exalt God by offering meaningful expressions of praise. The third that we'll look forward to getting to once we can connect, that our full strength is connect. That means that we cultivate an environment for unified fellowship of believers as a spiritual family in Christ. And then finally, serve. We seek to use our spiritual gifts to serve God by sharing the gospel with the lost and edifying believers. Now, number two, where we're spending our time now, is learn. And there we study, preach, and teach the Bible to understand and obey God's word. So last time, it's been maybe a couple weeks ago now, that we looked at learning for church growth there in Ephesians chapter 4. And today we look at the topic of learn for sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, so important for the believer, especially in our age. And so I invite you to turn in your Bibles back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 14 through 16. Last time we looked at verses 11 through 13, and we saw that chain of learning. Remember the chain of learning? That'll be up here again. It starts with God, and Paul told Timothy in our text we looked at last week that the apostle Peter told the pastor or evangelist Timothy to teach faithful believers who would teach others also. We have that here in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, that God gave, it starts with God, and then the next chain is God, the link in the chain is that God gave some apostles and prophets. We understand those to be gifts for the early church and the Old Testament. There were those who were prophets in the New Testament. That gift of prophecy continued. And then the gift of apostleship. We understand those offices to be for that Bible age, however, because an apostle, according to Scripture, had to have had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord Jesus and be directly commissioned by Him. So there are sent ones today in that sense of an apostle. There are those who speak for God as proclaimers. So in a loose interpretation, you call that a prophet. But as far as the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of apostleship, that second link is preserved for us wholly in Scripture, so that we have the revealed, inspired Word of God written by apostles and prophets. And the third link on that chain is there in verse 11, that He gave some apostles and prophets, and some evangelists and pastors, teachers. So that's the third link in the chain, those spiritual gifts, those spiritual gifted ones that God gave to the church for our learning. And he says there in verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The reason that we are learning, the reason we have those gifts and gifted people, so that we can learn God's word, so we can be built up, we can learn sound doctrine, and do the work of the ministry. That's the next phrase there in the passage, to do the work of the ministry. And so the fourth link on the chain is the faithful believers, as we are edified as the body of Christ. And then the fifth link is, as we do the work of the ministry, we're reaching others also. So that chain of learning is so important for the church. It's really the power cord for us as a church, as we are learning. And as we are passing along that learning to others, God's kingdom is being advanced. The work of the church is being done. And we saw the fruits of learning. And the fruits of learning are, number one, that the church is built up. And that's there in verses 12 and 13. The church becomes unified. Verse 13 says, so we all come in the unity of the faith. And then the church matures toward Christ's likeness. Unto a perfect or mature man, the end of verse 13 says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As we mature toward Christ's likeness, that third point there is going to have three subpoints, because when we follow that chain of learning, say, from God to the apostles and prophets to the pastors, teachers, to the faithful believers who teach others, and as that happens, the church is built up, we grow in Christ's likeness. When that takes place, three things can happen. One, we can detect falsehood wisely. Two, we can speak the truth lovingly. And then three, we can grow up corporately. And that's what we'll see in verses 14 through 16. So let's start there with that idea of detecting falsehood wisely. You've probably detected some falsehood If you've read your social media feed this week, maybe you saw something that you just can't buy into 100% because there's opinions all over the map, aren't there? I hope you've detected some falsehood when you have heard or read some of the teachings of different teachers of different sects or cults or other systems of belief out there. We need to tune our minds to be able to detect falsehood. And that happens as we grow in our solid foundation, our understanding of sound doctrine. That's why learning is so important. So when we come together for our church gatherings, we spend a large percentage of that time just looking into Scripture together, teaching, learning, so that we can grow in a robust and sound doctrine, so that as we come to verse 14, we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people out there who intend to deceive us, people that just want to get rich off the gospel. There are people out there who maybe think that they're preaching the true gospel, but just don't have an understanding of Scripture. And so falsehood abounds. Falsehood abounds. And here in Indianapolis, we know that you have a lot of options of churches to go to. There are probably hundreds of churches within driving distance for you. And each one, it's not that they each teach something different, but there's quite a bit of variety out there. In fact, sometimes I'll drive by a church and read the sign and say, I don't even know what that means. I have no idea what they teach there, but I hope it's the Bible. But when we stay home, and now we're watching church online, and we have not only options within driving distance, now you can tune in and watch preachers from all around the country, all around the world. Now that's a great blessing, a rich library of teaching that's available to us, but it also multiplies the potential for falsehood. So we have to be on guard. We have to be aware, because a lot of the people out there have the kernel of truth, but some errant doctrine mixed in. Now, I never want to give the impression that, you know, Thompson Road Baptist Church is the only ones who have the truth, and all the other churches and all the other preachers are preaching falsehood. No, praise the Lord. There are people across our city, across our state, across the country, and around the world that are faithfully heralding and proclaiming accurately the truth of God's Word. So it's neat that we can even tune in to, now that everyone's going online, we can watch services of one of our missionaries over in New Zealand. Did you see that in one of our emails recently? Or you can watch the service of the Agamalians in Ukraine. It's in Russian, but you can watch it if you want to. And we trust that he is, Brother Agamalian is faithfully preaching God's words. We know about his sound doctrine. But there's a lot of doctrine out there that is not sound, and we don't want to be like children tossed to and fro. Verse 14. Got a picture of our youngest child here. This is Lauren. Lauren is 6 months today. And at half a year, she's just getting to where she's developing enough core muscles to sit up. So normally she needs something to lean against, as you can kind of see here. If you take everything to lean against away, she's pretty tipsy. A stiff breeze could knock her over. Or you could take your index finger and just, boop, knock her right over, and she'd tip right over. Why? Because like verse 14, she is a child tossed to and fro and carried about easily. She's not very stable, and it's not because she isn't developing healthily. It's just because at that stage, as children, you have to be patient. It has to grow up over time as those muscles strengthen and develop. But they need to do that. They need to do that, because it shouldn't be that you could come to a grown adult and knock them over with your index finger. No, hopefully as we grow, we're becoming more stable. Our doctrine is sound. And we understand the truth. Jesus said he is the truth. He told God, the Father, to sanctify his people through his truth, which is his word. John told us in one of his epistles that the truth, as we learn it, will set us free. And then Paul tells us that the church is to function as the pillar and ground of the truth. So important that we're grounded in solid doctrine. We don't want to be weak and tipsy spiritually so that those convincing words of false teachers could draw us aside. Because they're sure out there. There's a lot of false teaching out there. I looked on Google, how many religions are there in the world? And the top result on Google says 4,200 different religions. And that's confusing and it's frustrating. It's frustrating. It's a barrier for people who are seeking. Those who want to know God, those who are curious about faith in the Bible, they don't even know where to begin because, like I said, you go around Indianapolis, there's so many churches and each one is teaching something different. How can we know the truth? Because the problem is, the Bible tells us the truth, but there are complex teachings here, some that we just misinterpret. And when two people interpret something differently and each one is too proud to dialogue or to be corrected and they both start their own church, pretty soon there's an explosion of options. We want to look to make sure that we teach the truth, and we want to be very careful about false teachings, not to be children tossed to and fro easily. Now, the Bible gives us a lot of warnings, a lot of instruction about avoiding that false teaching. And it's not because anyone sets out to believe false teaching, right? No one gets up in the morning and says, you know what, I think I'll just go listen to something false today and I'll start believing that. No, we all think what we believe is right. We all want to know the truth. No one wants to be deceived or lied to. So all of the warnings in Scripture are there because we have a susceptibility to error. There is falsehood all around us. The devil is the father of lies, and he's putting deceitful threads into the teachings of many. He's trying to keep us from knowing and understanding Scripture. And even in our sinful, corrupted selves, we will come to inaccurate understandings on our own. And so learning is so important. Here is just a sampling of some of the passages in Scripture that warn us against false teaching. There are dozens of them. Let me highlight several. Matthew 7:15. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." He said in chapter 24, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Acts 20:30. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Romans 16:17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Notice carefully there in verse 17 of Romans 16 that in order to mark them and in order to avoid them, you have to have learned sound doctrine. It's right there in verse 17. If you haven't learned sound doctrine, you won't be able to mark those that cause divisions and contrary teachings. You won't be able to avoid them because you won't even recognize the falsehood unless you have learned sound doctrine. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There are some people out there that are presenting what they call a sermon and claiming to be preaching the Bible, but really they're just preaching human tradition. Or really they're just preaching humanistic philosophy. Or they're just giving their own ideas and then reading a couple of verses at the end. Paul says, make sure that you're hearing Christ, not traditions of men. Ephesians 5:6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Vain words, empty teachings. Galatians 1:9, "If any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed." Strong words there to help us watch out for false teachers. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions of strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." Hey, there are those out there that they're sure polished speakers, and they sure look sharp, and they sure draw big crowds, and when they preach, it just seems like the voice of angels. But you have to be on guard. You have to be alert when someone says, "Thus saith the Lord," that the Lord really says thus. Read with an open heart, but read with an open Bible. Listen with an open heart, but listen with an open Bible. Listen with your antenna up, that you're always on guard against error. 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Chapter 4:3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. As time goes on, there will be more and more people that aren't really interested in exactly what the Bible says. They'd rather have someone that's just a really good teacher that inspires and motivates and helps them to feel uplifted. Hebrews 13:9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. 2 Peter 2:1. There shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. So what do we need to do? 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. That's why we emphasize learning. Titus 1:9. Holding fast to the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers or those who contradict. Part of the reason we learn is so that we can detect that falsehood. And part of the reason we learn is so that we can correct that falsehood. If you don't know much about this book, then the people who ring your doorbell, who've studied it alongside other teachings, might convince you or might make you look foolish. If we understand what this book says, we can correct the gainsayers or those who contradict. 2 Timothy 2:15, we need to study to show ourselves approved to God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or accurately handling the word of truth. There's so much error out there, all those warnings against it. And did you notice again and again in those scriptures? And again, that's just a sampling. As you read the Bible with your eyes open, you'll notice those warnings again and again. Watch out for that false teaching. Why? Because it slips in so easily. And the Bible also says in those passages repeatedly that it's going to get worse and worse. In the last days, there'll be more and more false teachers. And as Satan gains more and more control, there'll be just more and more convincing in their messages and have more and more followers. And so there's a lot of falsehood out there. And some of it's pretty easy to spot. All right? I'm not trying to name a lot of specifics, or it's not really my purpose to step on toes. And I know I'm wrong about some things. I don't know what. I think I'm right, but I'm sure I'm wrong about some things. But I was watching one guy this week, and he's talking about, there's so many conspiracy theories out there that a lot of people are buying into. I'm not saying that there are no conspiracies. The devil is always conspiring. But some of it is fruitless. It's just fear-mongering. It's just causing people to be suspicious of everything and paranoid about everything. It's not fruitful for a Christian to dwell in controversy for controversy's sake. This guy's talking about signs of the end times and, is the rapture close? And we're all watching for that and maybe thinking more carefully about that now. But he said, it's coming with the last Trump. And maybe the last Trump is Donald J. Trump. And I won't get into why, in the original language given to the original audience, that would make no sense and can't even be possible. But there are things like that that people, it's interesting, it's intriguing. And if your antenna's not up, there's still a lot of stuff out there that we can buy into. We have to be on guard. We have to be careful because, yes, I too can be easily deceived. The heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. We can't trust it. There will be times that I will read a passage of scripture and come to a wrong conclusion. And as I talk to someone, be reminded, hey, Joel, you need to keep that passage in balance with these other passages that also inform that issue. Or you need to understand the nuance of, this phrase that you're taking one way that really I don't think you're understanding. And so as our iron sharpens iron and we teach each other and we're informed by the writings that we have to take advantage of from ages of church history where people have worked through these things and studied them in depth to help come to a fuller understanding. Because, yes, I can read a couple lines and come to a wrong conclusion if I haven't done much learning. Once in college, I read a passage and I read it wrong, but I got some great ideas from it and really motivational idea. And I emailed a few of my friends, hey, I just read this passage and here's what it means. What a great passage. And I had to email them back the next day and say, that's not what it meant at all. I read it wrong. And that can happen to us. So none of us is exempt from error. We have to be alert against falsehood. And so when we do, we can detect falsehood wisely. Let's look at that chain of learning one more time and notice that the farther the longer a chain is, the more potential there is for weakness. And with these latter three links, there's potential for error there. These are humans that fall and falter and make mistakes. With those first two, we have the sure word of God. And so it's important that we, as we learn, go straight to God. That means as we're praying, we say, God, I don't want to believe error. Show me your truth. Convince me of where I'm wrong. Help me to be humble. Help me to be teachable. Help me to be correctable. And help me to discern truth from error. We ought to be praying that as we open Scripture. Then as we open Scripture, we're enacting that second link of the chain as we read the inspired, preserved, revealed words of the apostles and the prophets. And reading this is the only time that you can believe every word that you hear. All right, any other time, you got to have your antenna up. Yes, even here at Thompson Road Baptist Church, you should always have your antenna up and say, is that coming from here? Whoever is up there teaching or preaching, is that coming from here? But when you're reading this, you can let your guard down and believe every word of it for those first two links. But everyone in those last three links, there's a margin for error. We have to be on guard. We have to have our antenna up and detect falsehood wisely. Next, we want to speak truth lovingly. That's verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. Okay, remember, as a link on that chain, you're responsible not only to learn, but to do the work of the ministry. Not only to receive sound doctrine, but to teach it to others also. And so we have to speak the truth, and we have to do so lovingly. So there's two elements there, truth and love. People generally lean toward one or the other, and we need to come into balance. Some people lean toward truth, and all they care about is the truth. And once they find the truth, if you don't have the truth, they're going to whop you upside the head with it and say, you need to figure this out, and you're wrong, and I'm right, and you need to understand that. And they're speaking the truth, but they're not doing it in love. Paul says, speaking the truth in love. Other people are going to lean too far toward the love side, where they won't even speak the truth because, well, I don't want to offend someone. I don't want my neighbor to think that I don't believe they're going to heaven. I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And so maybe if they want to be saved, they can ask me about it. Well, that might feel loving, but that's not love. To withhold the truth from someone, that's not love. We have to speak the truth, and we have to do in love. We have to do both. Love doesn't mean we sugarcoat everything. Often, the most loving thing to say is something that someone doesn't want to hear. And when someone is going the wrong way, they need to hear a hard message to hear. But if we love them more than we love ourselves, we will share that message. Speaking the truth and doing so in love. That's what we ought to be doing as a church body. We're iron sharpening iron as we fellowship here at services and before and after and at different fellowships and studies throughout the course of the week, that we would be speaking the truth in love to each other, helping to guide each other toward what the Bible says. It means those that are lost, we're speaking the truth of the gospel into their lives. It means that our brothers and sisters in Christ who are going away that is against what the Bible says, that we're lovingly speaking the truth into their lives to help them get onto the path of righteousness. Detect falsehood wisely. As we mature in Christ's likeness, we can also grow up corporately. Verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So here we're using the body metaphor of the church. The church is a body. Jesus Christ is the head. He controls. He sets the direction. It's from the brain that all of the body is influenced and directed. But the rest of us, we're members. We're parts of that body. And we have to grow together. Now, Christ is already fully mature. We have to grow into that maturity. We start out like that little baby that's easily tipped over and needs to develop. And so as we grow in that way, verse 16 says, from whom, from Christ, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Yeah, God has to be working effectively in each of us if that full maturity is going to be realized. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That if we are going to grow as a mature spiritual body, the body of Christ, with him as our head, that each one of us, each joint, each member has to have that work of God teaching us, grounding us in truth, growing us up in spiritual maturity, that any one of us who is weak in our doctrine or who is buying into falsehood holds the rest of the body back. You realize that if your whole body's doing fine except one part, that holds the rest back. That kind of ruins everything. And if we're growing, we will grow at different rates, but we all need to be growing. We can never afford to have the mindset that says, "Well, I believe that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so, and that's all the theology I need." That's not all the theology you need. If that was all the theology you need, God wouldn't have given us scripture that is 66 books, hundreds and hundreds of pages, so that we can read and learn and grow. Have your heart open, have your antenna up, and get ready for God to grow you as a theologian. You ought to be a theologian. Did I already say that this hour? Or did I only say that earlier? We ought to each be students of the Word, growing as biblical scholars in our own right. Don't let someone else be the theologian for your life. You ought to be a theologian, growing spiritually. As we each grow and increase in our knowledge of God's Word and grow in maturity, we're formed into a stronger body that greater represents Christ. He functions healthily as our head, as each of us is submissively learning and pouring His truth into our lives every chance that we get, helps us to grow up corporately. A few takeaways to go home with today. One is to be a vigilant learner. A vigilant learner is one who says, "No, I'm not satisfied with my current knowledge of Scripture. I want to know more. There's more to learn. So I'm going to spend time with God every day asking Him to teach me. I'm going to spend time every day reading, studying, so that I can have sound doctrine and be able to discover, to detect falsehood wisely. I want to be a vigilant learner." A vigilant learner, again, is one who has the antenna up and says, "Okay, is what this person's saying coming from Scripture? Is this truth?" Be a vigilant learner. Be a loving proclaimer. That means that what I say to someone else, what I post on Facebook, or what I share on Instagram is something that is true and is loving. Do I love the person I'm communicating this to, and is this conveying God's truth? Speak truth lovingly. Find someone to speak the truth of the gospel into their lives. Make sure that your brothers and sisters in Christ are benefiting from the learning that you're getting and passing along, and then grow up corporately. Well, no one likes to be told to grow up, but the Bible says that's what we need. We can't be babes anymore so that we can only handle milk and not meat. We have to grow into spiritual maturity so that we can function as a healthy, active, strong, and stable body of Christ. And it is for these reasons that we learn.